In only 2 days, you can move your career further, faster with a Harvard DCE Professional and Executive Development Program. Advance your leadership skills, craft smarter business strategies, build your network, and move your career in the right direction. You'll earn a certificate of completion, add Harvard to your CV, and become the leader you want to be. Our intensive programs are designed to fit into your busy schedule. Attend online or on the Harvard campus. Search Harvard Professional and Executive Development to learn more.
Welcome back to Two Girls, One Podcast, a show that only 90s kids will understand. In this time of political and technological uncertainty, we tackle the burning question on everybody's mind. Which Nickelodeon show had the best theme song? I don't want to bias our esteemed panel, but it's Rugrats. And now here are the hosts, who legally can't explain it all, thanks to multiple non-disclosure agreements, Allison Goldberg and Jennifer Jamula.
Hey everyone, I'm Jen.
I'm Allie.
Welcome to Two Girls, One Podcast. Before I say our background, Matt, I thought we were going to get some Clarissa Explains It All music today.
Oh, I know. I really dropped the ball here.
I'll sing it for you all later.
I think now's a good time.
By later, I meant now.
Is that right?
Yeah,
no, that's not right.
Yeah, that was it. That was it. Does that sound like something else? And it was like, chicka, chicka.
All right, I gotta look this up. All right, do your intro, stand by, and
All right, everybody, stand by for Clarissa Explains It All theme song. Allie and I are performers who performed the internet using it as our script for a lot of years in our show Blogalogs. We then created a web series called Two Girls, One Show, which you can find on Hoo Ha Ha. We did interviews with the people behind the posts of all those years and went on scripted adventures. And now here we are with our very own podcast, The Daily Dot, and Matt, and we are interviewing people behind internet communities and phenomena. Today's a little more a phenomena, but there's also a community behind this one. We're speaking with the web's youngest teacher, otherwise known as Alyssa. Alyssa explains it all. Allie, what's going on with today's episode?
Well, when she was like 11, she started teaching other kids to code. So someone's an overachiever.
And
someone's
grown-ups.
An underachiever.
Who's the underachiever?
It's all of us.
Yeah. All of us.
I see.
We have failed.
What I'm curious about is like, where does life go from there when you're like doing interviews on CNN at 11?
I know.
You know who else we should ask? Greta Thunberg. What's her last name? I just fucked that up. Is that right? Mm-hmm.
It is. It's Thunberg.
It's close enough.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Nailed it. Yeah. I mean, she's fucking 16, international phenomenon. Where do you go from there?
Yeah.
Kids, just play outside.
Yeah.
Stay cool. Stay calm. So you have somewhere to go from there. You know what I mean? isn't she on like the cover of Time?
Really Greta? Getting off track here. Greta? Yeah. She's the person of the year, I think.
Yeah. That's hard. What do you do at 20? What do you do at 20? See, my peak has yet to come.
Allie,
so
we've been on the cover of a magazine.
It's all up from here.
One time.
Yeah. Well, now I want to be on the cover of another magazine. Well,
that's true. But something we did not say is that when Alyssa Daniels, who we're interviewing today, was 11 years old, was coding, began her website, the year was 1997, I believe. We can confirm that with her today. But it was basically the dawn of the internet. Google did not exist yet. I was reading somewhere that at that time, there were only about 100,000 websites compared to, you know, obviously hundreds of millions of websites today. So I'm so fascinated. Like, how was she,
Wait, that's crazy. Was
she even interested in coding? And, you know, was it kind of happenstance that this began or? Yeah.
Okay. First of all, you just said several things that blew my mind. First of all, this happened pre-Google. Google did not exist, which is crazy to me, even though, of course. And also, there were only 100,000 websites.
Yeah. I mean, according to.
On the internet? Man, I miss
you
that.
You could surf that in a
that.
Day.
I probably do.
Someone was asking
you. Cover you could cover that
in one day. You know, go a week. Someone was asking me recently about my college years, and I was like, well, we just hung out a lot. We hung out and we talked and we went to parties. It's like, so old school now. You know, that was what we did.
And I think we're roughly the same age as her. So just picture like what you were using the internet for in 1997.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I was not doing anything nearly as productive as Alyssa. Right. I was exploring chat rooms.
Oh, yeah, you've told those stories before.
Yep, I have. So we'll just leave it at that. You can listen to previous episodes.
Guys, I love nostalgia. So anyway, I love nostalgia. I know you all do too. I'm really excited.
Oh, nostalgia makes me deeply so sad. Sorry. I don't love it. It makes me deeply sad. I'm like, oh, time is flying. I'm going to die soon. Like, I don't like it at all.
Wow. Okay. We need to unpack this because I understand. But there's nothing about culture from your childhood that makes you happy or takes you back. Like, you're anti-nostalgia.
No, it makes me sad. Like, I remember it and I'm like, oh, my God, that was so long ago. Like, what's happened?
Yeah, I was just going to say, if you go to her website now, I think it's interesting that she kept a lot of the original look to it. So it does have like real 90s energy coming from it. I know she updated it over the years, but yeah, like super bright colors, bubble letters.
Just a point of clarification, Allie, anything that you feel is normal for yourself is likely abnormal.
That's
for everyone else.
False.
Thanks so much, Matt.
Because Jen and I,
so much.
We're all about, we love nostalgia, like going back in time, enjoying this 90s website, Clarissa Explains. Like we're loving this and we want to like relive it all. You are like, I'm going
to
die.
We need Allie's balance to our
existential crisis.
Happiness. Yeah.
It's true. That's factually true.
Nostalgia gives me existential crisis because nostalgia is like, whoa, 2 decades flew by. And speaking of, it's the new year. It's 2020. And I remember when 2020 was so futuristic and now it's here. And Jen posted on Instagram a photo for every year of the past decade. And it was really rough for me.
I'm so sorry. Yeah, didn't you comment on it? Like, this is deeply troubling.
That's a great idea.
Okay, to be fair, so I said it was amazing and
I was concerned
troubling.
About your comment. Though.
Yes, okay, fair enough.
Anyway.
I do have the theme song queued up here if you're interested.
Let's hear how close I was.
Just to clarify for listeners, Alyssa's website was called Lyssa Explains It All. Obviously a take on the very seminal sitcom. Not a sitcom, but it was a Nickelodeon show for kids.
Yeah. It was pretty much a sitcom about a family and a young girl who was...
Family-based sitcom, but for kids, right?
For kids, yeah. The young girl, Clarissa, was very fashion-forward. I took a lot of tips from her.
Excellent. Yeah. And, well, tell me more about it. My memory is that she was breaking the fourth wall. She's talking directly to the audience, to the kids, and telling about her life and what's going on, right? Is that right?
Yeah, that's pretty much it. It was like her voice, and she had a neighbor, her best friend, who had come up to her room, and you know, it was cool because they were just platonic. There was nothing else going on. She had an annoying younger brother, and it was just about her adventure. She was always getting into something a little mischievous. She was a precocious young gal, but
I see.
Definitely
okay.
Like young girls admired her.
Okay, so here is that theme song from Clarissa Explains It All, probably mid to late 90s, right?
That sounds right. Maybe even early. Yeah, I can look it up.
Okay, all right, here we go.
From the Trader Joe's mothership in Monrovia, California, let's go inside Trader Joe's.
This doesn't sound anything like what you sang, Jen.
I didn't expect
Jen,
that
I think
at
you
all.
Were pretty accurate. I think you were accurate.
Wait, before you really play it, it was 1991 to 1994, early 90s.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Early 90s and 4 years. That's pretty good.
A lot of people know her as Sabrina, not as Clarissa. Sabrina the Teenage Witch.
Now, right. Sabrina, yes. I loved Sabrina the Teenage Witch.
I missed the boat on that one. Yeah.
How?
I was a big Nickelodeon kid. I know that you weren't, Allie, but that I like every show on there was my favorite.
Well, I didn't have TV, so it wasn't my fault.
Oh, Allie.
Wait, so you were catching up in your adulthood with Sabrina.
Did you literally not have a TV or
I watched.
They wouldn't let you watch it.
No, we did, but we didn't have cable.
Oh, I see.
We didn't have cable and we had like bad reception. So we got like 3 channels or something. We watched Friends as a family every Thursday night.
I love that.
And we watched Seinfeld together. Although looking back at like the content of Friends, that's like weird that was our family show.
I hear a little nostalgia.
So yeah, Nickelodeon was
in your
like.
Voice. Yeah. Just a little for Friends of Seinfeld.
Oh, no. Nostalgia is real. It just makes me sad and it seems to make other people happy.
I like feeling sad.
All right,
let's
here we go. Nostalgia
it.
Trip. Here it is.
Cool.
That's
very repetitive.
Okay, I think that you confused it with a different song.
I did.
You confused it with
which was an 80s song.
Yeah, it's a different song.
Baby is a centerfold.
Oh yeah,
if I'm not mistaken.
You're so right.
Yeah. Melissa Joan Hart is on Twitter.
Yeah, she's big on Twitter.
She's big on social media.
Can I tell you what celebrities do that I hate so much?
Please.
You may know me as Clarissa or Sabrina or Mel from Melissa and Joey, but my three boys, Mason, Brady, and Tucker, call me Mommy, and that's my favorite role yet. All these celebrities, they like list their shit, and then they're like, but so-and-so calls me Mom, and that's my favorite role. I'm like, that's not.
That is a thing.
Well, because they're humans. They're also human.
It's not a role.
It's a role. It's a major role.
It's just a cliche, but it's a role. It's unrelated. Yeah. I don't know. It's so cliche. It's like, they all do it. That's my favorite role. You're like, oh, cool. Your favorite role is being a mom. Got it. You and every other celebrity with the same bio. Got it.
Woo, okay.
Ooh, okay. The rage train coming to the station.
No, now I'm on her Instagram.
How's she doing?
A flashback to 1991 when my little sis Lizzie Savage had a birthday and all her Broadway friends came to celebrate. So are her sisters actors too and they're on Broadway?
I don't know.
And then it's like a bunch of kids wearing like seriously 90s outfits. Like you would love it, Jen.
Oh, I gotta follow her.
There's like some... Yeah.
Well, here you go. Shout out to Melissa Joan Hart, talking about what you're saying earlier of like a child actor who was incredibly famous by all accounts, a Nickelodeon star of probably one of their flagship shows. I would say a good chunk of child stars burn right out, but she went on to do many other successful series, right?
That's true. Yeah. That's true. But let's also talk about how I secretly love Macaulay Culkin.
Okay.
Yes.
He did that Reddit AMA. I think we already discussed this. And it's so fucking weird. And I kind of love it.
Yeah. What did he do again?
He's like a real weird adult.
But in a good way.
In a way that I find really amusing. I'm a little concerned that maybe, you know, he had a really rough childhood. But
yeah.
But anyway, yeah.
Very talented. We recently rewatched Home Alone and I was in like casually observing the film out of the corner of my eye and I'm watching him act as an 8-year-old and I'm like, yeah, this kid, I get why this kid was big.
He's like,
his
interviews are really interesting though, because he talks about like he feels like some other kid did that and made that money and he lives off of it.
Wow.
Oh, interesting.
It's probably healthy to separate yourself from that.
Which makes sense. Yeah. I mean, it was so long ago. Like if my biggest thing was when I was 8, I would feel like I don't even know who that was.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. And then he dated Mila Kunis and so he's had a whole other life.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah. Mila Kunis.
I just learned something there right there. All right, here is your trivia for the day. Today's episode is about coding web pages using HTML and CSS. I have a quick pre-trivia question. This is not the real trivia question. What does HTML stand for? We've been over this. Pop quiz.
Oh. How to make links. Just kidding.
That's correct. You got it.
Wait, are there options here, or we just have to remember?
No, this is not the trivia question. This is just a little pop quiz for you.
Oh, I don't remember, but I haven't slept in a year, so.
Okay, fair enough. Hypertext markup language, that is HTML, the code that powers the entire web. What does CSS stand for?
You did tell us this before. Clown scare somebody.
Style is in there. Yes, that's true.
Clown scare somebody. That is correct.
That's great.
It stands for, just to save us a little time here, it stands for Cascading Style Sheet.
Oh, cool. I like that one.
I did know that.
CSS Cascading Style Sheets are sort of like an overarching style guide for a website that determines things like fonts, colors, and the general layout. So basically, HTML powers the web pages, gets into the weeds of the pages, but CSS gives it that sort of coat of paint to make everything cohesive, and the HTML refers to the CSS. However, the acronym CSS also has a much older meaning. What did CSS stand for before the web? Your choices are A, Congressional Secret Service, B, Confederate States Ship, or C, California Social Services.
Oh, man.
I'm going to go with C.
Because you're in California?
Yep.
Have you benefited from California Social Services lately?
No.
Okay.
Well,
but in terms of like what the acronym used to be. That one added up more than the others slightly, but this is a really random trivia. Like, there's no. Mm-hmm. All right, Jen, you got to choose A or B.
Well, originally I was thinking something with a boat, but maybe I'm thinking of like HMS or, you know, and then we had the ship for B. So what was A again? Congressional what?
Congressional Secret Service.
Secret. That seems so weird. There'd be a Congressional Secret Service. All right, I'll go with my original impulse of the ship. I'll go with B.
Okay. Jen goes with B, Confederate States Ship. Allie goes with C, California Social Services. We will find out the original meaning of CSS after this break.
And now a real advertisement entitled Free Nexus 7 Tablet. From the website for used electronics that almost certainly have poop on them. Craigslist.
Free Nexus 7 tablet, brand new. With the purchase of my $180 Dorito, I got the tablet from one of my college classes, and I have no need for it, so I'm giving it away for free. It is in perfect condition, only used a couple times. The Dorito is very important to me, and it has lots of sentimental value. It's a perfect triangle shape with the perfect cheese ratio on the chip. If you buy this Dorito, I hope you take care of it and respect its value. Email me if you're interested.
Deal.
Yeah,
really,
I think so.
Yeah.
So what's the trivia answer?
Yeah, trivia. Let's do it. Yeah.
Fun fact: $80,000 for that ad spot.
Mm.
So like, I hope that works out for him.
Yeah. None of our advertisers seem to understand numbers based on what you're telling us, and also
yeah, I don't
where's
ask questions.
The money?
Just cash those checks.
I'll get paid in Doritos, Matt. Whatever you need
and
to
And then
do.
Hoard it? Like, what are you doing?
Okay, quick question. You're all set for life. You're set for life money-wise, but you can also get a lifetime supply of any, like, single, like, snack food chip or whatever. Like, what's your go-to, like, I could eat this for
like
the rest
the
of my
sweepers.
Life chip?
Gosh, that's really tough. For the rest of your life? Immediately, Bugles came into my head, but I think I would hate a Bugle.
Funny, I was thinking that
those
too.
Those are so addicting.
Yeah, Bugles are a great choice because they're also interactive. Well, I mean, but who hasn't put Bugles on their fingertips and been like, aha, look at me.
True.
You know what I mean? This is fun and games.
On
Bugles.
Your head.
Yep.
Little
Bugles
hat.
Are a good choice. I haven't seen a Bugle in a long ass time. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I was going to say nipple covers, but it had to be stated.
I think Bugles are the answer. I think this is a great
for your nipples. Got it.
Bugles for your nipples.
Because they're pointy. The Bugles are pointy, and also nipples are sometimes that.
Yes. Yeah.
They like that too.
Okay. Glad we got this settled. That seems like a perfect transition into our guest.
Trivia.
Wait a minute. It's about CSS, cascading style sheets, but before the web. If you were to say CSS to someone in the, you know, the 19th century, it would mean something else. Was it A, the Congressional Secret Service, B, Confederate States Ship, or C, California Social Services? I should really write down which answers you chose, because after the commercial break, I can never remember. That's right, because you're
living
in California.
How about if you tell us what the right answer is, and then that's the one that I chose.
Oh, I see.
I chose B. I'm honest.
Jen, you went with the ship. The correct answer is... ships in the Confederate Navy were known as the CSS...
Woo!
Blank. Ship name. B is the correct answer.
All right, we did it! Together. I
did. You did it.
But yeah.
Awesome.
It was good that you chose B because we just recently revealed that Matt always chooses A as the right answer. So Matt was probably trying not to do that. And so we get it.
Yeah.
I'm no fool. But what if I thought to do that? And I was like, I shouldn't do that. But then
right.
I did it anyway.
You could,
to double fool.
That's actually not what happens.
No.
Yeah, it's not what happens.
Well, everybody, speaking of launching ships and other endeavors.
And CSS.
CSS. We're so ready for our interview.
No, hang on. I got one. Ready? Speaking of ships, let's talk about the greatest ship of all, friendship, and the friendships forged on the internet in 1997.
Huh? That's pretty good.
What do you think? You can use
Are you leaving
you
this all in here? Okay. Or do I need to restate what you just said? Because I don't remember.
No, you can feel free to use it. Yeah, it's a free
Speaking of ships, let's talk about all of the friendships that were forged on the early internet, especially 1997. Yeah.
Great Matt, transition,
Matt created
that
one. It's time for interview. We're joined today by Alyssa Daniels, who is the creator of Lyssa Explains It All, an HTML help site. Welcome, Lyssa.
Hi there. How are you?
We're good.
How you doing?
I'm great. Thank you. I'm really excited to be here.
We're so excited to have you. And we've had a lot of chat at the top of the episode about Clarissa Explains It All. Were you a fan back in the day?
Oh, yeah. That was that's one of my like big family memories is every Friday we would pull out the futon and all four of my family would lay and like bake popcorn and watch Clarissa Explains It All. And so, wow. Yeah, obviously that was
Yeah, I mean, influence. If you weren't a fan, then I have something to tell you about your website.
Surprise.
You're going to get sued.
This is going to be awkward.
Yeah.
So for any of our listeners who are not yet familiar, how would you describe Lyssa Explains It All?
So really simply, it's a website to help other people make websites. And it's old school.
So how old? Take us back. You know, we read that you began coding when you were 11. Is that when did the site start exactly?
Yeah, I guess it was around like 1997 or 98 or so. And AOL had like this built-in website coder. And so I started messing around with it. And my mom was scared because she thought that, you know, if I put anything on the internet that we'd, you know, have someone show up at our door. So, you know, I was very careful putting things together, but it was really hard to find resources. So
what happened when you were 11 that you were like, you know what I want to do in my spare time? Code.
Oh my God. I am such a nerd. I'm like a nerdy introvert. So, and I always played video games and that sort of thing. So putting things onto a screen was pretty cool. Yeah.
So that was it. You were like, this would be great. I could make things come to life.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Like, oh, I can do that too.
And when did you decide that not only could you do it, but you could teach others?
Well, I started kind of compiling things on just a page where, you know, because I was having trouble finding information. So when I would figure something out, I would put it on a page. And then I started to have people say that was helpful. And it just kind of snowballed from there. And I had it was like an Australian website or something linked to it. And all of a sudden I started to get a lot of traffic, like 100 hits a day, which was crazy, you know, when, but you know, it's like before 2000 and you're like 12 years old and you're like, oh my gosh, people are looking at my website.
Okay. Yeah. So you kept going.
And yeah, like how did it evolve? Yeah. We'd love to know a little bit more about the story. Like, didn't you start getting ad revenue or what happened over time?
Yeah. I guess it was a slow evolution. But I started to build up the website and, you know, put sections in it and so forth. And it was like, it was called Lyssa's HTML Help for Kids and Beginners or something to start with. And I think when I made up a name, that's when it felt serious. You know, the Lyssa Explains It All. And it was actually my dad's idea. And he got it from Clarissa Explains It All, of course. So it started to feel really official once I got a title and I got, you know, what you would call branding, I guess, for a 12-year-old. I got my branding and I got my new layout. And then I opened a forum and the traffic just kind of snowballed from there. And then I actually went on a technology trip with my school. I got chosen out of a few people to go on a trip to like a tech conference, and I was interviewed by CNN Headline News and a couple of local stations. I don't know how it happened, but it did.
And, what was this tech conference?
I have no idea.
I'm just like trying to picture what a tech conference was back then. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, right. I went with Sun Microsystems. I think we were representing them because our school was doing this pilot program of, it was called Java Rings. So you'd wear this ring that had your information on it. And it was this big, bulky thing, but it was cool at the time. And our school wanted it so that you could use those to like enter rooms and like save, you know, files and that sort of thing. So anyway, we went to, as kids.
Wearables. Recall it? Was it, where was this conference? Because like CES in Vegas has been around forever, you know, pre-internet
even.
It was in
Atlanta. Okay. And yeah, I wish I remembered the name of it, but heck if I do.
Was it tech like, hey, the latest VCR, or was it tech like the internet tech? Do you recall?
It was tech like, it was all the big companies like, Sun Microsystems, IBM, that sort of thing. But I do remember, someone being there who tried to get, it was like an older guy. I remember how awkward I felt with this. It was an older guy and he saw that I was being interviewed on CNN and all that. Yeah, I was being interviewed by, these big companies, and he was trying to get me to use his, RPG builder on like on the recording and that sort of thing. So they had like indie developy kind of things too. Wow.
Cool.
Okay, yeah. So you're at this conference, you're interviewed by CNN. Yes. And then what happens?
Well, it's funny too. I tried to cancel the interview with CNN. I had no idea. It's not that I didn't have any idea what a big deal it was going to be. I was so sick. I went to the hospital.
Oh my gosh.
The day before. Yeah, I had a really bad case of strep throat. So I was really sick. But my teacher at the time was like, you are not missing this. There's no way. I will drug you up. Well, I mean, she didn't say she'll drug me up, but I will drug you up and you're going to go do this. And then you can go home. Doesn't matter. I don't care. You're going to do this. So thank you, Ms. King. You're wonderful. Yeah.
Well, it's so crazy too, because it was such a different time, right? Like now, I mean, it's cool to be interviewed by CNN, but it's like all these sites have to put out 3,000 articles a day. But back in the 90s, if CNN interviewed you, like they were only putting out so many pieces a day. And so it was a really big deal.
Yeah. I remember being at the airport going back from Atlanta, and they, you know how they play headline news every 30 minutes. And our flight was delayed. So me being an extremely shy, awkward 12, 13 year old, whatever I was, it was playing every 30 minutes. And you best bet I got recognized. And the first time it played, I got like a round of applause from the.
That is so cute.
Yeah. I was mortified. Now I'd be like, oh, please, more. Thank you.
So did this change things for you, for the site, you know, in your personal life with friends at school? Like what happened after this interview?
Well, you know, my best friend at the time was a kid who... He went to the tech conference with me, and I had the biggest crush on him. And I remember he said, don't let this go to your head. And so I was really careful. I was really careful about ever talking about it. I hate boys, wow. Right? I was really careful about
worst.
Oh, men. You don't have to tell me twice. Yeah. So I was really careful about talking about it, but I did have a few people that I went to school with that were like, oh, I've used that before. Oh, that's awesome. Very cool. Wow. You know, so yeah. And then I started to make, like you were talking about earlier, I started to make ad revenue and that sort of thing. But when you're a kid, you don't really have the concept of money. So I didn't realize until pretty recently how much money I was making as a kid.
How much money were you making as a kid?
A lot. More than I have made as an adult.
Really?
Wow.
Holy cow.
Yeah. That's really sad, but also...
And what happened to the money?
That's a long story. I was in a really crappy relationship, and he has it. So...
Oh.
Oh, yeah. No.
It's cool.
Men.
Men.
So upset. Yeah,
so that happened a long time ago.
Wow.
But I've had successes since then, so okay. Screw him.
Screw him.
Fuck that guy.
Did I read somewhere that if you had so many visitors to your site that you had to like upgrade, but you realized you would need to get ad revenues, so you yourself like started like reaching out to ad agencies when you were like 12 or 13? Like what? How did all that happen?
Yeah. I mean, you know, kids have so much moxie, right? Yeah. Like they're so confident. They're like, oh, all I do is send an email, right? And it worked. So I mean, you know, you get a certain amount of people come to your site, and now it's so cheap, right, to have bandwidth. But back in the day, it was not. So you have to pay a lot of money for a lot of people to come to your website. So I ended up with like some of the best advertising companies at the time. Like I had stuff from, you know, I think it was DoubleClick and like FastClick and that sort of thing. At the time, it all worked out. And I remember doing so well with Google ads that they sent me like a Christmas present.
Really?
Really?
Yeah.
What was it? What was the present?
It was a bunch of like really nice Google branded stuff at the time. It was like this nice leather bound book and little tech things. Gosh, like I think it was like a mouse and a USB thing. Gosh, I wish I had that stuff.
Yeah, I was going to say, there's your nest egg. Branded Google swag from branded, like 98. Yeah. Like, put that on eBay, man. Holy crap.
Right? Back in the day when they were just a search engine.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You were so ahead of the curve. I'm just curious if our listeners right now who are in their 20s, like, realize how incredible all this is. Like, the fact that you got swag from a major company like that, like, in the snail mail, blows my mind.
Oh, my gosh. Right? And they just kind of sent it. And I just kind of accepted it.
Wow.
Well, yeah, they used to send. Well, that was when they were just sending checks in the mail. Like I received a check from Google every month.
Oh, that's
crazy. So for
right,
they would send you checks. You'd have to go deposit them.
You would.
Oh my God.
And I would deposit. Well, I didn't deposit them. I think my mom probably
yeah,
did.
What was it like being 12 and just doing all this? And like, how involved were your parents? Or what's yeah.
My mom was pretty involved. Like I said, she was a little worried about me on the internet, just in well, you know what? Just in general. I mean, the internet was really scary. Now we give people so much information and there's this information overload. So it's like, well, everyone else is doing it. But I remember she wouldn't let me put a picture online or something. She wouldn't let me use my real name. That's why it's Lissa, L-I-S-S-A. And I put a picture up from when I was like 7 and she still had a really hard time with it.
Wow.
You know what? I don't blame her. And I still think the internet is a scary place and it's so permanent. And
I agree.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Lissa, let's paint a picture of your site for listeners as it was when in the late 90s. So tell us about like the look, the feel of it, the functionality, how you were building it, all of the above.
Okay. So the look of it is, pure late 90s, early 2000s for sure. It had this bright orangey yellow background. I still remember the hex code. It's FFCC00.
You never forget your first hex code.
You never forget your first hex code or your second. 9966FF.
Wow, so impressed.
I know, man. It's all up in there. But it was like this kind of 90s purple. Like my room was that color at the time too. I think that's probably how it ended up happening. So it was like this bright yellowy orange and then this weird purpley text. And I definitely used Comic Sans for my first website because that's, you know, Comic Sans is cruise control for cool. And so when I finally redid my website, I had, I thought of like folders, you know, file folders. So I had tabs at the top and my big logo right in the middle and I had a splash page. And
dramatic pause.
But you know, at the time it was hard to section things off, so I think what it was to begin with was you'd click on a tab and then it would come up with on the next page, like a full on next page. There were links like, say it was under the HTML section, and be HTML1, HTML2, HTML3, HTML4, like the different pages of information. And so it was just long pages of information, like from basics to more advanced, you know, so just starting with the structure of a website, you know, open tags, close tags, that sort of thing. And let's see, I had like HTML section, eventually had a CSS section, I had a Neopets section. Neopets, did you guys do Neopets?
It sounds familiar.
We spoke to the author of the History of the Web newsletter who covered the Neopets economy crash in the late 90s, where they changed the game of Neopets and the entire in-game economy collapsed because they didn't know, they didn't foresee what people would, how people would buy and sell the items and such.
Yeah.
Neopets, dude. It was and remains huge, I am told.
Is it really?
I think it's still, I mean, maybe it's just nostalgia, but I think it's still a big deal. Could be wrong.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Well, that's great. I have to go check that out. Neopets. I had a Neopets section. Eventually I had like towards the end of high school when I was kind of like petering out with the whole technology thing, I had a MySpace section. So it was basically anything new I saw online.
Oh, okay. So I'm curious your thinking or your intent with the site, meaning, is it just stuff you're interested in and you're just sharing information about it? Or is it like, hey, if you have come here to learn how to learn this tag, and hey, but while you're here, here's how to do this thing in Neopets. Is that what it was? Like tutorial information?
Yeah, I guess sort of. It did tend to be like things that I was interested in, but it wasn't like a blog thing, you know?
Right, okay, sure.
I had it sectioned off like, hey, this is a tutorial site. And
go here, go
cool
to this page to do this, go to this page to learn that.
Yeah. Right. I used anchors a lot. So, yeah. Yeah. So it was just sectioned off like these are the HTML tutorials, these are the CSS tutorials, and the, you know, JavaScript tutorial. Well, not JavaScript, Java, whatever, applet tutorials, you know, that sort of thing.
And then maybe this is a slightly dumb question. I'm just trying to place it because we talked at the top of the show that you embarked on this in a pre-Google or like Google emergent world. So this is not like people typing into, I guess there were other search engines, obviously. So people are typing into a search engine like Yahoo saying, how do I, you know, do a list tag? And then they're landing on your site, or are people just becoming aware of your site and then typing it direct? They're like, I know where to go. I go to Lyssa and I'm going to find the thing I need. Do you remember how people were consuming it?
Yeah, well, and I guess kind of confirmation from, I still get messages from people, which is really cool, about how they used my site. So obviously it started off like HTML beginners help, you know, as your tags for search engines. Cause they still did that back. I don't know when it started. But you could see like how people are finding your site through the meta tags and stuff.
Right, right.
So of course it mostly started out as like, you know, HTML help. I would just show up. But then, you know, people started searching specifically for Lyssa Explains and they'd come directly to my site. And it got enough publicity to where people started coming directly. And I had a lot of like copyright issues and that sort of thing too, where people were like copying the information, so I had to do a lot of like chasing people down for that too. So that's weird.
Interesting.
Here's what not to do.
So you had copyright issues as like a 12-year-old? Did you get lawyers involved?
No, it was actually pretty easy. I copywrote my whole site, all the like text on it, so you just send something to the host and the host will take it down.
Because Jen and I are having that issue. And we can't manage to get it taken down. Yeah.
My gosh. Oh. The internet is so big. The internet is so big right now. It's crazy. Yeah. I can't, yeah. I can't get a handle on it. That really sucks.
It's okay. Well, we actually reminded me that that's something on our to-do list. Anyway, cool. So, okay, that's so true.
Send angry letter. Yeah.
So you had other kids like reaching out to you. What was there a bit of a community? I know at one point you had a forum. Like, how was it interacting with your users?
It was pretty cool. I mean, like I said, I'm an extreme introvert. So, at the time, even now, most of my friends are online. Like, I have, you know, a couple really close real life friends, I guess you would call them. But at the time,
I know, it's so strange,
right? I don't know. What do you? But it's so much more normal now, I think, to have like online friends, people you only know online. But at the time, most of my friends were online in the forums. I was on there all the time, every day. And there's this big debate about COPPA right now. I don't know if it's still a debate, but I'm behind the times always. So like with YouTube and COPPA and all that stuff. But I remember if someone said they were under 13 signing up for the forum, their parents would have to fax a letter to me.
Oh my God, that's right.
Yeah, fax a letter to me saying that they were allowed to use the website, and there were a number of people.
Wow. How many faxes did you get?
It was probably, I'd say maybe like 50-ish, because people just lie about their age, you know, easy peasy. Sure.
Yeah, that's way easier than sending a fax.
God, that is so interesting. Because now those same laws exist today. It's literally the exact same law.
Now you click
not
a
very not updated, but you're right. You tick a box saying my parent. Or it sends an email to like a parent's account, like for YouTube, mm-hmm. of like, hey, parent, is this person allowed to use it? And you're like, yep. And then they're good to go, you know, no facts right. required.
But also so you can very easily bypass that without notifying the parent.
Absolutely. Yeah. And billions do, I'm sure. It's just like legally speaking, if you're under 13, you are not allowed to use YouTube or Facebook, you know.
Right.
You know what? Yeah. You should have to fax.
You gotta be real committed. Yeah.
Yeah. If a child wants the permission that badly, they gotta figure out how to use a fax machine, which will also be a really nice lesson to them about, you know, the way we used to live.
All right, listeners, tweet at the FTC, hashtag bring back the fax. Let's get it trending.
You know, just the fax. Put forth a little effort.
Thank you. That's better. Thank you, Alyssa.
So kids are faxing you. And are they also sending you like success stories and their own websites?
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, forums, there were plenty of sections and there's like, you know, just the chat section. And of course that was the one that popped off. But, you know, then I had all the other sections of like, you know, this is where you get HTML help and blah, blah, blah. Yeah, and I ended up having enough people on the website who were actually good at making websites, kind of helping as moderators and that sort of thing and answering questions. But yeah, I did a lot of interacting with individuals and I'd run like silly little contests and that sort of thing. And they just, you know, they just ended up being my friends.
Uh-huh. At what point did you stop running this site?
I guess it was when I went off to college. I kind of stopped paying attention to it. It mm-hmm. still was running, and it still existed. But
that seems like a good time to stop, because that's like right around when social media blew up.
Oh my gosh! Yeah, and like you're right. Because I remember I went to Florida State University. That was the first school I went to. It was Florida State University. And they were one of the first few, I guess, universities that could sign up for Facebook. So, yeah. But like I said, I had a MySpace tutorial. It's probably still up. I had a MySpace tutorial. So, so it definitely, I made an effort. I made a small effort because I did realize that I was making a decent amount of money, like enough to not have to work.
Wow. Right. Well, and right. I imagine there at this time, there is more competition on the web for the same resources. Like HTML didn't change that much. I know it evolves, but, you know, how do I do a list tag? Like there's probably 100,000 Google results for that. And so were you seeing a decline in people coming to you, or was the site still strong at that point?
Yeah, the site was still strong. I don't, I think I wasn't really trying to combat like a dip in traffic or anything. I think I was, mm-hmm. I just realized how much people used it and I wanted to help those people.
Yeah, that's great.
That sounds sappy. Well, here we are.
Here we are.
Look at you, but also, good person. It exists.
Getting zappy in my old age. Yeah.
Yeah. That's good. Yeah. That's good. You're getting sappy because I'm getting bitter. Good. So we have some questions from listeners. So our listener Chad wants to know, how do classmates and teachers at school react to you becoming a technology expert?
They didn't really care. Like I said,
they were like, this tech thing, it's going to pass.
Oh, my God. Right. Computers. Lame. I don't want to say nerd culture because that sounds so stupid. But nerd culture now is pretty well accepted. You know, like we have esports on ESPN, gaming, that sort of thing. But at the time, it was not cool. It was not cool at all. So I was definitely a nerd. And it was like, oh, yeah, we knew she was a nerd. You know? So I think teachers, after all of that, I think teachers expected a lot more from me, which as like someone who was distracting myself with learning something I wanted to learn was not great because I did not want to do English homework. Because who does? So I think teachers expected more of me, and my friends were just like, whatever.
Did they understand that you were running a business, a very successful business? Because like kids dicking around on this world wide web, okay, fine, nerd. But if they understood that you were generating like life-changing revenue from running an internet business, I wonder if the perception would be different.
Yeah, that's a good question. I think now people have a lot more perspective on how successful someone could be, right?
Now every kid wants to be an influencer and wants to do brand deals on Instagram, so much so that they fake it in order to look cool. God. And that's like how far we've come. So, and I presume when you were doing this that you were not like running through the halls of your schools, like waving your Google checks. So maybe people didn't know. But right. I'm just curious if they understood what you were doing, and or maybe they just didn't have a clue.
I think they just didn't understand. Yeah, and I didn't really try to. I was really careful to not feel like I was. I don't know. I don't want to say rubbing it in people's faces. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I was just pretty quiet about it. I was a quiet person in general.
Is it because that one guy who told you to not let it go to your head?
Oh, that guy.
Oh, my God. Men. Yep. Yeah. He's married to a doctor now. So,
yeah, he really did.
He got his.
A big important doctor.
Actually, I think he works at Facebook too. So,
really? That's funny. That's funny.
He had proximity to greatness. So, I guess it worked out. Yeah, no, he's a good person, though. I promise.
Our listeners also wanted to know. Okay. So I know you said you've been fairly introverted, but did you ever meet groups of your fans in real life?
No, I haven't kept up with too many people. It's pretty much only the people that found me on Facebook and like and added me, and they're like, oh, hey, by the way, I was on the forums. Okay, yeah, I remember you, because I spend a lot of time there. No, I haven't met like quote unquote fans until recently, but like I'm doing other internet stuff lately.
That's a nice segue into what are you doing these days?
Yep.
Well, I've had an interesting what is it, decade? Jeez, no, it's more than a decade. It's more than a decade. No.
I think we're the same age. Yeah. We feel you.
Oh God. Yeah.
Understand.
Yes, that early 30s struggle. Yeah. Let's see, what have I done? I went to school, but then I kind of had to choose the path between, I know everyone has to choose between performer or computer nerd, right? So I chose performer.
Wow.
Yeah, right? It's a normal thing. And so I chose performer and I ended up working as a dancer, actor, like singer, all of that for like 10 plus years. I worked overseas as a Marilyn Monroe impersonator.
Oh my God.
So I
did not see that coming.
For 2 years. Surprise. Yeah. Yeah. So I lived in Singapore for 2 years doing that. And like, I did like, I've done a lot of traveling around then. And, but now I'm working, I'm going back to school cause I'm a dropout. So I'm going back to school for a double major in biomedical sciences and social sciences, at school here in Orlando. And then I also am doing Twitch streaming on the side, as one does.
That was a lot. So going back to school for something completely different. Way to have the arts and STEM on lock.
Yeah. Yeah, STEM for life, yo.
And yeah, well, you're STEAM, really. You're STEAM.
STEAM.
I have a real problem here because you have a very successful web business and you're like, nah. Not interested in pursuing that. Then it sounds like you're having a blast in Singapore, like becoming very successful Marilyn Monroe. You're like, nah, fuck this. Traveling the world, being Marilyn Monroe, you're like, this sucks. I'm going to go to school to do biomedical. Ugh, what are you doing?
The grass is always greener, Matt.
yeah, Matt. You can't just do one thing.
That's true. Keep evolving.
I don't know. I get bored easily. So when I do something and I feel like I've succeeded at it, I'm like, all right, next thing. Like I worked as an aerialist for a couple of years and I was like, all right, I worked as an aerialist. Moving on.
What is your life?
What is that? What is that? You have to clarify.
It's when you dance on the sky.
Silks, trapeze.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah. I worked as like, I did silks and, I did like a cube act for one show, like of like a show I did for like a year. I was contracted at.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Hallie.
Yep.
You're so much cooler than I am. Damn it.
Alyssa, tell us your Twitch channel URL and what you're playing and where our listeners can find you. Cause we do have a lot of listeners who are gaming fans.
Ooh, gamers. I'm a girl gamer. Exist. It's at twitch.tv/LyssaT. I changed the Lyssa. It's LYSSA.
Oh, okay.
TEE, like manatee.
Keeping us guessing.
T.
Got it. We'll put a link in the notes for those who are not paying attention. Lovely. Go on.
Yeah.
We have one more question. This one comes from our Discord from Chad. He asks, what advice would you have for 11-year-old girls today?
Hi, Chad. God, that's hard. Because it's like rough out there. It's really hard growing up now, I think. It's rough out there. You know, I basically say the opposite of what I did. Like, try to stay offline. there's plenty of that. Honestly, though, I think focusing your productivity towards some, like, building something instead of making other people happy. I think that's why I end up being successful is because I was doing something for myself that ultimately ended up helping other people. Whereas I think a lot of online time is spent trying to do what someone thinks other people are going to like, or what someone thinks other people are going to, and you can do that later. Like you have plenty of time to be insecure when you're older. Just do you, like do programming classes online instead of like, I don't know, stalking people and wishing your life was like theirs. Right.
Yeah.
Well, that's awesome. Great advice.
Yeah, that's what I'd say. Do it for you.
Cool. Yeah.
All right, I'm taking you out. Taking it out. Here we go.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Impressive person. Yeah. First business at 11. She's had 7 careers already. I'm still working on the one, you know?
I know. To be that passionate and dedicated to something when you're so young and not to like have a brand or have a business, but just truly because you enjoy it, that's so rare and so cool. And yeah, I just feel like you don't even hear about that happening now very often. So props.
I think it's a special kind of person. I think it's the more, the older I get, I'm just like, some people have this drive to like just build things and become something, and most people are just like, well, yeah, sure, I'll go to school wherever I land, I'll get a job, you know, and then it's just different mentalities, and I want to see more of this. I want to instill this kind of thing into our kids. And the thing that I learned, I loved so many things about that interview, but my special takeaway is like, 11-year-old, 12-year-old kid, I need to upgrade my server. I need to work with these big dog ad agencies. So what am I going to do? I'm just going to send an email.
Right.
I'm just going to go and reach out to whoever I want and need. And guess what? Like, that truly works, like, more often than you think. And for just an 11-year-old kid to just know that and go for it, just kicks so much ass. I love it.
Yeah.
So Amelia's got like 5 or 6 years till she needs to start her own business.
Yeah, if that.
Enjoy childhood while she can. It's over soon.
All right. She has a few business ideas in the works already.
Tell us the best ones.
Okay. Here's what she's going to do. She's going to go to established retail stores and purchase gum, like different flavors of gum. So you go to CVS, you go to Walgreens, you get gum, open up the packages, and then combine the flavors. So like mint and bubblegum, you combine them, repackage it, and sell it both online by mail and brick and mortar stores, but you sell it at a premium. She's saying $30 a piece. And the name of this business is Automatic Attic. What do you guys think?
Shark Tank. I feel like I read some of this on Facebook that you posted about this.
Automatic Attic?
I like where her Attic's head's
like,
at.
Like addicted or okay. Like attic?
No. Attic, like the attic, like the storage, yeah. Your roof,
You know, the buying and reselling at a premium. She's a good head on her shoulders there, I got to say. Mm-hmm. Combining flavors.
Sounds a bit
that's
unsanitary.
I think there's other ways that you could combine flavors. And then I think we need to work on the name. It's not totally.
Oh, see, yeah. I think the name's the best part.
Automatic Attic. What about that says gum to you?
Oh, it just has a great ring.
Yeah, it has a great ring for her other business idea.
Uber.
What is Google?
Uber doesn't mean cars. What is Google?
Attic,
Nike doesn't mean shoes.
Automatic Attic should be for a different business idea. In which attics appear. It's like a storage system. Like if she wants to launch a
storage. Don't listen to the man, Amelia. Don't listen to the man. Just go with your heart.
Don't let it go to your head. Yeah. Jen, I sense that you're foreseeing an FDA issue with the handling of the gum.
Certainly.
Okay. So the business is solid, but we're facing a regulatory concern.
Exactly.
That's what you're saying.
Yeah, and I don't want to crush her dreams, but your daughter's an idiot. No, I'm just kidding. Get it together. How old are you? Six? Seven?
Fair,
come on.
Fair enough.
Come on.
Yeah, she's six.
Over the Christmas holiday, my two 10-year-old cousins, both little girls, came up to me and my mom, and they were like, earlier in the night, they like both of them played a clarinet duo together. They were like overachieving at Christmas. But they came up to us and they had like a little pencil box and they said, we have a business. Do you want to like look in? Do you want to see what it is? And we said, yeah. And they
went
in on it. Basically, we opened it up and they had made all these like little rubber band bracelets and chokers and rings. And then they had like documents. They had a manila folder that said paperwork on it, and inside the manila folder was like their pricing structure. It was a description of their company. I forget what it was called, but it was
so
freaking cute. Yeah, some bylaws. So of course we bought some jewelry. It was like 50 cents a piece or something. It was so cute. Perspective for me. They were 10 and they're making jewelry. Alyssa was 11 and she was learning how to code. I mean, it's just not saying anything bad about my cousins, but Alyssa's pretty awesome.
Get it together. But different interests. Totally. Yeah. But isn't that interesting of like, let's benefit of the doubt, same exact drive and spirit. But Alyssa happened to choose something that actually
made money.
The world needed. No one needs a bracelet. Yeah, you know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah.
I need a bracelet. Can I get one?
Yeah, all
right. Yeah, I actually bought a bunch. Cents? I'll send you one.
50 cents.
All right. Send me one. Okay. Yeah,
wear it out in LA and, you know, spread the word. I'll have to get their company name again. We could really blow this up for them.
Get some influencers in on it. Yeah, we really could. We really could.
Yeah. So yeah, well, there you go. That's how you do it. Yeah.
Yeah.
You're at a pitch meeting wearing like a used rubber band.
Exactly. You know, it's a statement. The metal off your neck or off your wrist.
Well, it's like it's very hipster. You know what I mean? It's just in like it's very it's like ironic. You know what I mean?
This is made by a 10-year-old in Pennsylvania.
I'm wearing office supplies. Oh yeah, just like fair supporting trade. The natives. Yeah.
Oh Lord.
So. All right. If you had a business as a preteen, tweet us. I'm at Allie Gold, Alligold.
I'm at June Bugger.
Truly the worst audience calls to action ever.
I know, but
if you are one of the 7 people on Earth who are a teenage business person.
You know what?
Hey, I had a business, but it was fake.
What was it?
It was called the Vermont Inn, and my friend and I played it every time we got together. We had paperwork. We had a whole setup in her grandmother's basement, but it wasn't
and
a real business.
And people would like check into your inn?
We could play hotel for hours. Is that weird?
No.
Well, so, now you work at real, a farm sometimes on an artist retreat, so that adds up.
It translated. Yeah.
Yeah, it did.
If you had a business as a preteen, let us know. I'm at June Bugger, JoonBugger. You can email us at 2g1podcast@gmail.com. You can also call us or text us. If you call us, definitely leave us a voicemail. We would love to hear from you. That phone number is
347-871-6548. That number again, 347-871-6LIT.
And last but not least, join our Discord server. Maybe you'll see Lissa there. It's discord.gg/2g1p. Allie, if they want to contribute to us, how do they do it?
You can head over to patreon.com/2g1p, and we really hope that you will. It may look like we have this machine running smoothly, but actually those contributions really help us continue to make the show. So if you want to hear more episodes, please visit patreon.com/2g1p.
See you next time.
Two Girls, One Podcast is hosted by Jennifer Jamula and Allison Goldberg, then transcribed and published as blinking text on my GeoCities site. Produced and edited by Matt Silverman in New York City. Production assistance is provided by the Podglomerate. This show is a production of The Daily Dot, the number one source for in-depth reporting about life on the internet.
The Podglomerate. A Sonic Universe.
And the perfect cheese ratio on the chip.